You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are we are we kicking off the podcast?
Run it.
Yeah, we're starting right now.
Uncensored.
Okay.
You're right.
This is very uncensored. So my family calls me Keet. Okay. My dad gives everyone a nickname. Mine is Erikeet the Parakeet.
My sister's is
Ashley Bodashley. I hated the name Erikeet the Parakeet. They always shortened it to Keet. My nieces call me Keet. They don't even know my name is Erica. Okay.
That's awesome.
I'm Keet. Well, when I was in college, there was a website. It was called like LouisvilleMojo.com. And it was kind of like one of the first social medias before Facebook and whatnot. Uh-huh. And it quickly escalated into this like men would just message you trying to like hook up and like whatever. Anyways, my name on there was Keet. But also during that time, the song by Lil Jon came out. I was like, oh, skeet, skeet. Okay. I didn't know what that meant at the time, okay? And one day, I changed my username to Keet Skeet.
Oh, my gosh.
And I did not know
what
it meant. And immediately, my inbox was just DMs, like, hey, girl.
A lot of, like, probably really proper, nice stuff, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, I'm down to skeet. Really? Yeah. So...
public service announcement.
Yeah. Right.
And for all the parents out there.
Yeah. We're talking
now, just to be clear, we're talking about skeet shooting, right?
Yes.
In the outdoor context.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know.
Yep. And along the same vein, Dan, what's up with your horny sweatshirt you're wearing today?
Well, that was the topic, right?
We did discuss before we're gonna bring each other. That's right.
No, here's the quick story about this hoodie. I went on an anniversary weekend. It was actually one day, right? So we went to Cedar Falls, Iowa, and my dad lives about 20 minutes to the west. My in-laws live 20 minutes to the south. We dropped the kids off. We went back to the hotel. We stayed the night in the hotel that we got married at, or that we spent the night on our, you know, when we were married. And so we hit the town that night, went out to dinner, grabbed some drinks and things like that. Well, the temperature dropped a whole bunch. I wasn't prepared for it. So we were at this restaurant and I bought the hoodie just to stay warm. And so,
the
Horny Toad American Bar and Grill in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Shout out, some of the best chicken wings you'll eat, dude. Straight up.
There you go. There's going to be a 3-hour wait there now, thanks to you.
Yeah, right.
Like Joe Rogan mentioning something.
He mentions Terry Black's all the time. Now nobody can go eat there because it's wrapped around the block.
Right.
Yeah, I doubt we'll have the same effect.
Who knows, man?
Never know.
Well, Erica, did you shoot a bird this weekend?
Oh, God. No. Why not? I tried. Apparently, it's easy for everyone else, difficult. For me.
Not I.
Yeah, I'm about to say. There's really? Only one person in this conversation that has shot a bird, and they're in Iowa right now.
Yeah, Dan. Well, I'll kind of minimize the story of this. Turkey season this year has kind of went not as planned. I thought I was going to go with my dad. Grandma's been ill. So kind of took it upon myself on, what was it, Friday, I think? Also... I have a very, I'm fortunate enough that I kind of look out my backyard into the field and see that there's turkeys sometimes. So I know that's not as exciting, but on Friday, it's a large field. It's not like, it's just like there's a turkey by the swing set. Okay. Like there's a large field and I look out there.
She's got
and
a little bit of slice out there.
Yeah. There's a turkey and a hen or a tom and a hen. And I'm like, my God, what am I waiting for? I'm sitting here at home. Like I was getting ready to start work. It was about 7:30 or so. I was like, do it. And so I run into the closet, get all my gear on and like get the gun down and kind of go out the back door and slowly creep down into the field. And there's like a curve where our house is kind of inset before the field like really starts. And anyways, I creep down pretty far and set up about, oh, it's probably about 60 yards for this tom and this hen out. So it still needs to come in. And I tuck myself into the field and try and call. And it's just not going to separate from this hen. And I don't have a decoy or anything like that either. Goes into the corner. They end up just like going off like way, way, way 200, 300 yards away into some trees or whatever. I'm like, oh man, I guess that's kind of done. So maybe I'll just not do this. I don't know. Anyways, like 10 minutes later, it's all of a sudden it's in the middle of the field again. And I'm like, what the heck? And it's not with the hen anymore. I'm like, perfect. This is great. This is what I want. So I kind of get back in the position that I was in. Call and ends up making this way, like there's a hill kind of in the middle of the field and then it goes down, so I can't really see over it, so it goes down into like this opposite corner, and I'm like, you know what, I can't get it to come over here, I'm just gonna go to it. And so I'm like belly crawling across our field with this daggone gun, and it was very exciting, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I was going to do that morning anywhere. So I'm like belly crawling. I'm like trying to look up and I see it's all fanned out and it's like a large bird, I think. I don't know. And anyways, I get all the way up finally to the top of the thing and it's gone. What in the world is gone? Okay. Well, that was fun. So I kind of come back down and wait a little bit and all of a sudden it's like in a whole other area. I don't know how it's even getting there. Maybe it's another tom. I don't know. So I get back in the corner that it was in. And it goes down into like this other little inset. And so I slowly kind of come across the field line. And there's like this little bowl. And I get set up and it walks into the woods on this little trail that it's like a game trail. It walks in there. And so I start calling and it starts calling back and calling back. Every 30 seconds, it's just like hammering. And it was so exciting because this is my first year calling. Very bad at it. I know.
Well,
I am.
This is the first time you've gone by yourself, right?
Yes. First time I've gone by myself.
How far away was he when he was goblin?
I think it was probably about 60, 70 yards.
Okay.
So it just like needed to come into, like I couldn't see it because it was and it kind of goes, it dips down. Mm-hmm. So for like an hour, it was doing this. And about 15 minutes in, I text Brad and I'm like, I can't get this thing to come with me. Like, what are your tips? And he was like, do a couple back and forths and then be silent for like 15 minutes. And I text my dad too. And he basically says the same thing. I'm like, okay. So I sit there and the whole 15 minutes I'm quiet, just goblin, like nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? And it does not come closer. So I keep doing this. It ends up being like an hour and a half of this. Yeah. He ends up coming behind. Like, I don't see it. I can just hear it moving and gobbling behind me, like, further into the trees. I get up and I move into another spot to get a little bit closer, like, into the trees now. And I swear he was probably, like, 50 yards away. At this point, it was very loud. But I was also on an incline. And so if I kind of popped this tree that was down, I felt like he was going to see me, so I couldn't get any closer and I couldn't call him in. And then he eventually started moving away and I was like, okay, it's 10 o'clock, I better get to work, like this thing clearly isn't cooperating. So I did that. Then last night I got home from an event that we were at and there was another tom and a hen in our yard, and we like parked the car and it was like not in our yard, it was like in the field, and I was like, I'm going. And the kids were like, can I come? And I was like, no. And they were like all like running after me. And I was like, move. And I was like jumping hurdles over the kids. Like, get out of my way. I got to get my stuff on. And like, I'm trying to get the gun down. And like, things were falling all over the place. And Tim's like, oh God. Anyways, so I go out there and they're trying to like watch from windows, like way far away to see. Anyways, did the same thing, like go around like the little curve and stuff. And this thing is, they go into the tree line. I get out the call and the hen comes out.
To your call?
To the call. She like, yeah, she comes out to the call. She finally comes out and I'm like, come on, Tom, please come. And he does. Thunder and lightning start hitting and I'm like, oh God, this is horrible. And it starts to like, the hen takes off kind of like running a little bit when the thunder cracked. And I'm like, did she see me? Was it the thunder? I don't know. But she stops. And then I'm like, I think that they're getting ready to leave because maybe the storm's coming in or maybe they're getting spooked or maybe I've spooked them. And I'm like, this is kind of my last chance because the hen starts getting further away. And I feel like at this time they're probably about 40 yards. Maybe it's shooting range for me. The Tom steps out from the little curvature that it was in, but there's a few like leaves in my way or like branches that are coming out. So I just started to like stick my foot out to kind of peer around the thing. And I think I spooked it.
Yeah.
And they ran off. Gosh.
Dude, so close.
Yeah, that's fun.
It was very exciting.
Keep doing that. You're going to mess around and shoot one for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and go out maybe in the morning.
Yeah, you need to get out in the dark before they come.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I'm gonna try and do tomorrow. So
you're gonna shoot a turkey.
Gosh. I'll be very jealous if you shoot one before me.
We got a week left.
I'm over that. I'm over the jealous factor. It's like it's been so long for me at this point. Like I just whatever.
Freaking me and Phil are hiking over all over God's green earth trying to find these things and just like we seem to find them, get them within, you know, 50 yards and just can't get them to commit to come in for us to take a shot. Like we had last week, we just had like a miscommunication basically on whether it was a Tom or not, whether I got to shoot it. But man, this past week this past Saturday we went in same spot, and like last time there was a truck that parked behind us, and so we had to like kind of audible and like tell him where we were going to go and all this, and like basically cut the area in half that we were going to go to. So this time we kind of went in, there was nobody else around. We were like, we're just going to go in and listen and see what we can hear. And we get in and we don't hear them where we thought we were going to hear them. So we go down a little further, and then down the road, we just heard, you know, the classic gobble. They're still on the roost. And so we're like, okay, we're going to go set up on these guys, and we go try to set up. And then all of a sudden they get quiet. So they probably flew down and went somewhere else. So we went down onto the same ridge that we were on when we had, like, the best chance we've had yet, and had these things going nuts. I mean, like, probably 70 gobbles in, like, you know, 45, 50 minutes. I mean,
they
were just going crazy.
How many toms do you think there were?
So we were hunting two of them, and we actually had got, like, kind of to the back where public meets private, which was a big issue for us. They were on private, probably 60 yards into private, and we were trying to call them onto public, and they were on the same ridge. But so there's two of them we're calling to, Phil's calling to, and we're just sitting there listening to him gobble back and forth and all this. And then all of a sudden off to my right, I heard a gobble 200 some yards. I mean, it was far. Like, I don't know exactly how far, but it was not close. And I just kind of like took note of it. And then all of a sudden, he's a little closer, and he's a little closer, and he's a little closer. And me and Phil are, like, looking at each other like, dude, this guy's playing ball way more than these two are over here. Like, he might mess around and come up the hill. And so calling, just totally shut up. And so now the gobblers are going back and forth at each other. The one is getting way close to us and literally is walking the property line. Like, he is like, straddling it as he's coming to us. And so I was actually texting Paul Campbell, like, hey, this is what's going on. Like, we can't quite get him to commit, but they're, you know, real close. And he's like, you know, I sent him a screenshot of the Onyx so he knew, like, where the property line and stuff was. And he's like, what I would do is, like, get up and, like, slowly walk backwards. And while you're walking backwards, like, grab your decoy and be calling the whole time, like, about 30 or 40 yards. Like, we're a hen moving away. And so kind of, like, that'll saying, like, hey, guys, like, this is it. Like, this is your chance. We're here, and if you're not interested, we're out. and had some more gobbles, but ultimately they ended up just going completely dead silent. And so that was our best chance of the day. We had some other gobbles that we were chasing down, but that's kind of been the story for us, man. We're finding them. We're getting like pretty close. We just can't quite seal the deal. So
did you guys both move backwards or just the caller?
So we did not do drop back calling. We did that Friday morning. In this situation, we both moved back because where we were and where the birds were, when they came into like the shooting lane, we'd have been shooting them on private property ultimately, like the way they were coming. So we were like, there's no use in leaving one guy up here as the shooter, because more than likely by the time they get up there and they get into, you know, they step out to be shot, they would see us if they came any closer. So it was more of a move to make sure we didn't shoot private land birds on public land.
But, another question, how close are you getting to them while they're roosted in the tree and they're gobbling?
Well, the situation I just described was like well after they had flown down.
Right.
The situations where we begin getting close to them on the roost, I mean, we don't go out and like roost them at night and then go out to find them in the morning. We're like going out and finding them. So usually trying to stay like a good, you know, 70 yards away or so. Is that far enough, you think?
I mean, a lot of it just depends on how open the timber is. I mean, right now, everything's starting to leaf up, so that you can be way aggressive in your approach. Yeah. But when I shot my bird, there was just buds on the trees, right? So you had to be very careful. And I thought originally when I set up, I was going to get busted by the hen that saw me walk in. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, the Tom and the other hens were further down, and luckily they came in. But I would use this leafiness now to your advantage. And the next, if you get the opportunity to get out, just like be ultra aggressive and try to catch them right as they fly down.
Yeah, no, I like that for sure. We, it's definitely thick. I mean, where we're at, it's definitely thick, and it's definitely like a lot of terrain change. Like we're hunting a lot of ridge systems and stuff. So, we've been trying to err on the side of aggressive, just, you know, just when you hear people talk that know what they're doing, they're saying like, go mess it up, you know, like you don't know what messing it up is until you mess it up. And so we're doing that, being aggressive with calling, being aggressive with setting up and all that stuff. And I don't know, we're going to keep doing it and see if we can call one in. It's been tough. It has been tough. Getting them to come up the ridge has been the most difficult thing. Like, it seems like they're on another point, calling, gobbling, and then when they start to move our way, they go down into the bottoms, and then getting them to come up the ridge we're actually on, it just has been brutal. So we've done a couple creek bottom sets, but it's harder to hear them down there. So, you know, you find one, you start calling, and it's like, well, maybe they can't hear us, we can't really hear them. The one that we thought we were going to get to come our way down on the creek bottom got shot. So It's the public land struggles, man. We're just going to keep running around and see what we can do.
Well, I got Mike Tyson aggressive this weekend.
Oh.
Backfired twice.
You got a face tattoo.
Really aggressive.
Yeah. like Evander Holyfield's ear gone aggressive.
All right. I like it.
You know, it's the last day of the season, so it was yesterday, and hadn't been able to get out as much. This is like the story of every season, I feel like. But kids are in soccer right now, so we're kind of battling Saturdays or squirrely. And so I had to get out Sunday, and there were storms coming in. I was looking at the forecast for a few days leading up, and I'm like, man, it's going to get nasty. They're calling for rain all day. But there, as it started getting closer on Saturday night, I'm like, okay, I've got a couple hours, you know, or at least before it starts to open up. And so I'm out there bright early, beautiful morning. I mean, it was amazingly beautiful morning. And I go deeper into the property, the farm where I hunt, than I have been when I've been out there. And I sit down under an oak tree that is as wide as a doorway. So it's a huge oak tree. I'm like, I set my decoy up probably 30 yards off that tree of where I've heard gobblers in the morning before. I sit down under this huge oak tree, kind of woods to my left, 10, 15 yards off to my left. And so that's where I've heard the birds gobbling every time. Sun starts to come up, starts to lighten up. They are on top of me, behind me in the field. Like, I have never sat under roosted turkeys like this before.
Sick.
And it was shocking to the point where I was like, oh no. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do because they're right behind me. I'm sitting behind this big tree. If they're going to come up to my decoys,
they're going to be
nose to eye with me, like right here on the other side of this tree, because there's not much space from the woods to the tree.
Dang.
So first aggressive move is I've got to turn myself around. Like, mm-hmm. I have to get around this tree to shoot them as they come out of the tree line. Get up around that tree. Bah! Two of them. They saw me.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, no. Like,
were they on the ground, like, or still in the tree?
Still in the tree.
Oh, shoot.
And I'm
what
like,
what sound did they make?
It was just gobble. Oh. Hard, hard gobble. Both okay. of them. And it was like a millisecond between them each starting. So they were close to each other in the trees, and very close to me. Like, very close. And so at this point, I'm like, I blew it. There's four gobblers back in this section, though. So I know I still have hope with the other two that are a little further on. Those two shut up immediately after they saw me. So then I'm looking at the Onyx map and trying to, like, judge the hillside, the creek bottom, the other property that's really close, what my next move is. There's a peninsula of trees that I have to get around to get to the creek bottom. It's like, well, I know they've been using that creek, so I get up, walk up to, they gobble just their heads off again, and walk along that tree line peninsula and basically just hug this tree line and go around it. At this point, they're down because I hear the other two birds moving away from me, and get down in the creek bottom, walk along that tree line, and I'm just yelping periodically, trying to keep their attention. Well, I get back to where I want to set up and temp check. I get my call out and shotguns on my shoulder, and I hear a deer start blowing.
Like, oh, no.
Close. Just, I mean, maybe 25 yards away from me or so, like mm-hmm. pretty close in the tree line. Deer blows. I'm like, okay. He or she blows again. I'm like, run away, please. Blows. So at this point, I'm like, I'm going to take a step to get them to bolt out of here. So I take a step to my left. As soon as I take my step to my left, there is an explosion of a turkey down in, like it was walking in the creek, 15 yards away, takes off. And so at this point, this is like blown, completely blown. Turkey right there, gun on my shoulder, not even a chance to turn on it and shoot. So I know where the birds are on this farm. Now, like, I've messed them up enough this year to figure out where they're at, what they're doing, where they like to get down and go. I'm confident next year will be better, but
like, if you get out,
I will definitely get out.
No more soccer.
This is going to be an opening day bird next year. Like, I am banking on it.
Do you think once they see you, like, it's over? Do you think if you would have waited like an hour, they would have come back? Or like by that time, they're probably done eating? And
the first ones where I was sitting, I don't know. I would think they're not going to come down and come that direction.
Right.
Like, do I have a shot at those birds in another spot? Yes. Because I did the same thing. I texted Paul. I was like, hey, here's the situation. And he said, can you get around? Can you, like, get around to try to cut them off another way? So that's what I was trying to do.
Okay.
And then I told him what happened again, and he's like, well, you know, what's your move? Like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I'm just going to go sit by my decoys and hope that I can get one of the other birds that were in there to come. And I just felt like an idiot. So I was like, I just want to go sit down with my thoughts and think about how I screwed this up right now. So just went and sat, just went and sat under this big tree. And then the lightning started, and I was like, okay, there's my excuse. I can go home now.
Yeah, really.
Oh, gosh.
So you're done. Me and Erica have 1 week left, I guess. Yep. Dan, are you all get to take three? Is that right?
No.
Or you all just get the one?
We can take two if we want. I got mine first season, and then if I wanted to, I could go out on this fourth season right now, but like Jacob, man, I got soccer, I got baseball, I got wrestling, we got dance, we got football right now. All those things are happening, and so and I'm coaching two of those things. So there's
coaching dance.
Yep. Yep.
With that horny toad sweatshirt.
Exactly. It's a pretty, I got some pretty sweet moves. I'll have to show you guys sometime.
I'd be interested in getting Dan's perspective on this. So this morning, I kind of peeked my head out there to see if there were any turkey already. It was first light, and when I knew I was coming into the office, but I just wanted to go ahead and really make myself upset if there was. I look out there, and I see something in the field, and I'm like, what is that? Is it a bunny? No, it's got to be, like, really large. It ends up being a fawn. It's a fawn, and then about 30 yards away is doe. Get out the binoculars, white spots, clearly a fawn.
Dang.
So, which leads me to believe, you count 200 days from now, we're talking mid-October was the rut.
That is really early.
Is that right?
I mean, that's like a month early in my head. So.
Or like maybe she didn't go to term, something happened. And when I tell you that this was not like, this fawn was like, it was like.
Oh, it wasn't like
It wasn't fresh. baby. It was not fresh either.
Well, and to have moved out into a field, it's not.
Yeah.
Well, you have to remember that the breeding season for a whitetail is including the entire month of October, right? So if you look at the, you know, this is a popular bell curve that is put out by the NDA, right? The National Deer Association shows that breeding does take place, and studies have found that as early as late September, does can be bred all the way to the peak rut for most of the Midwest, or what you would traditionally call the November rut period. Right. Mm-hmm. The peak breeding is somewhere around, I think, November 14th being the peak of that bell curve, and then slides down again. So potentially that doe could have been bred as early as late September, depending on when that fawn dropped.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well,
it just makes me wonder. They always say there's like a second rut, but I wonder if there's like a, I guess there's something called a pre-rut. Like, maybe there's, like, really a first little rut, and then 28 days later it's, like, peak rut, and then the second rut is really, like, the third. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many questions about it.
In the bell curve, there's outliers, though, right? Like, you have your 80% in the middle and then 20% on either side, so maybe it was just one of those.
But what made her pop off early? Like, is it a biological thing with her, just this doe, or was it? Like a weather thing? I have many questions.
Could have been. It's got to be the doe.
We'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
It has to be the doe. The doe is what peak. Like a buck is, as soon as he's hard horned, he's ready to breed, right? And so that happens in late August, and so when there's a, you know, when that first doe comes in, and typically it is the same time every year for that doe, within a week, you know, give or take. And so I bet you if you were to find a way to document that particular doe, she would be bred in that same time frame every single year.
Interesting.
That's wild.
Now, what you've said, I've seen something completely opposite. So I've seen a fawn that is brand new. I mean, brand new in, what would that be? That would have been July timeframe, like mid-July. I mean, small fawns on trail cameras. And that means that buck or that doe wasn't bred until like that December, January timeframe. And so now you're on the complete opposite side of what you said. So take that range there And that is technically the breeding season, even though majority of the does come into estrus in that late October, early November timeframe.
Yeah. I was just so shocked this morning because I was like, that seems early. And then I remember listening to a podcast with Bo Martonic, and he was saying how his dad, I guess, keeps track of Rhett is he will check his trail cams. And once he sees those early, early fresh fawns, he will count basically 200 days back and then use that information for this season to come. And so I'm like, okay, math. Minus 200. What was that? Holy crap, it was October. So, which, I mean, in October when bow season was coming in, we were like, I feel like it's starting. I feel like it's starting.
Yeah. I had something like a learning experience. It seems basic, but we were sitting there waiting for turkeys, and I heard a buck grunt behind me, like indistinguishable. Like I was like, that was a buck grunt, or it's a hunter being a turd. And so after we were done, I walked over to Phil and I was like, "Did you hear that buck grunt?" And he was like, "No." And I was like, "Man, either I'm hearing stuff, like do bucks grunt right now?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, they grunt all year." Yeah. And I was like, I thought that was kind of like a mating territorial, like they're rutting type thing to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously they do it more and during that time period, but they do it all year.
I had one do it grunting behind me a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Turkey hunting. It is kind of like weird though. You don't expect it.
Yeah, I was told like I feel like I have different brains. Like when I'm in turkey brain, like I'm not even like paying like, you know, I see a rub or something, I'll be like, oh cool. But like I'm not thinking about deer at all when I'm out there most of the time. But that happened and I was like, hang on a minute.
It's not your turn right now.
Yeah, hang on. We're hunting something else.
Yeah.
Dan, you mentioned you had a couple questions for us. You still want to hit us with these or are these what is this?
Okay. Well, these are more of like we've had really good conversation and now we end it with like complete randomness.
Okay, good.
I'm going to leave it up to you. Do you want to end with randomness or the next time I'm on, do you want to start with randomness?
Do y'all have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't have anything.
I think we close it with some silliness.
All right.
I'm kind of nervous. Right.
Oh, he's got
a piece of paper.
Well, it's not. We've kind of broke the seal, so to speak, with the skeet and the horny. So this is just good from here on out. Okay. All right. And we'll start very passive. Okay. I don't know why. I felt like this was a good topic. I was in my kitchen this morning, and it just kind of popped into my head. Favorite pie? What's your guys' favorite pie?
Dude, that is perfect timing, because my favorite pie is Derby pie.
Oh,
which big Louisville guy
we just had this weekend. And
what
I
is Derby pie?
It's similar to a pecan pie, but it has chocolate chips in it.
Okay. Okay.
And bourbon, of course.
Yeah, of course. It's basically Louisville pie. Mine would be apple with like a nice thick layer of caramel on top.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Mine's blackberry.
Blackberry.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Like people that. Either love it or hate it because you either don't like blackberries or you do.
Love them.
Gotcha. I am a apple crumb, to be more specific with the apple. The crumb
on
top.
Which one's Dutch?
Caramel's Dutch.
Okay.
Okay. Sometimes the crumb can have, there's like a hybrid, right? So just like Easterns and Merriam's can create a hybrid, sometimes a Dutch and a crumb can create a hybrid, which is also super delicious. And then you just put like a big softball size thing of vanilla ice cream
vanilla
on
bean.
The warm apple pie. Yeah, vanilla bean, yeah. And then any bad day can go good. Like you could lose your parent in a car accident. You have some of that. They're like, oh man, I feel great right now.
But that Dutch apple
I don't know. You can cut that out.
Brought me back.
I'm just telling you that is the, that's how good a really good apple crumb and vanilla combination. That's how good it can make you feel.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not all the way there, but I'm close. I don't know about a dead parent. But.
You know, I'm a big ice cream enthusiast. Like, that is my jam. I will eat ice cream breakfast, lunch, dinner. But
same here.
Ice cream does not go on my pie. ever. Because I don't want that like warm milk.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, that's like the commingling of.
I am obsessed with ice cream, but I like never eat it anymore because I'm trying not to be a fat ass. But I've been cutting my sister's grass. She just moved into our neighborhood, and I like push my little llama over there, and I just being a good brother.
What a stand-up guy.
Expecting nothing in return. She knows my favorite ice cream in the world is a seasonal ice cream from Grater's, strawberry chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow. She found out when it was coming out, and the other day I was out in the backyard with Millie. She saw me, and she came over carrying a cup of something. She said, I have something for you for cutting the grass. And I was like, oh, great. I smashed it, dude. I crushed it. It's like how I kick off summer every year because it's a summer flavor.
So she brought you a single serving in like a dish.
Yeah.
So she's got the carton.
No.
You're going to come back and cut that grass again.
No, she went. She used to work there, actually. But no, she went there and she got like an order for me. Like it came in. She didn't buy the big tub.
Oh, she went to the restaurant. Okay.
She said she was going to buy me a big tub, but they were sold out. And I was like, it's probably a better, probably a better thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm a ice cream fan, and ice cream is the reason I have love handles. I'll be straightforward with that. I mean, I love a Blizzard. I love a concrete mixer from Culver's. And then there's a place in the town next to me called Heinz Ice Cream. It's all homemade, and then they make their version of a Blizzard, you know, and then I always add the malt powder in with it. So it's like a malt slash Blizzard. Oh,
dang.
Man. You get
so you're
large.
Modifying.
Yeah.
If you like it so much, you've got your own ingredients you're adding.
Exactly. Hey, one time I actually came up with a combination that the owner of this one ice cream shop in Ainsworth, Iowa, he actually named it after me, the Johnson. And it was on their menu for a while, and then they changed ownership and took it off. But I actually... Like, I went there, I kept ordering it, and then the owner was like, well, hell, you might as well offer it to everybody else. And he's like, hey, it does all right, so I'll keep it on the menu.
Sick. Well, what was it?
Yeah.
All right, so it was just like basically a trash can of stuff. So in order to make it worthwhile, you had to buy the large, or it just would have been straight candy in it. So it was like a buttercup Blizzard with malt powder and then caramel mixed in with it with cookie dough. I'm missing something. And I think I was feeling guilty that day, so I maybe added blueberry or
just
something in it.
Just a little fruit in there. Yeah, just a little freshen fruit. Freshen it up.
Exactly. Just to say, you know, hey, there's fruit in here, so it's justified.
Get your daily serving.
Exactly. So that,
yeah, now it wants my
yeah,
screen.
Right.
Thanks
right.
For that.
Yeah. Yep. And so, I'm going to, and this was the week that I decided that I need to start my Western type cut I make every year where I stop eating like a slob and try to trim down so that when I go out West, I'm lighter on my feet. But now after this episode, I may have to push this back a week.
One last cheat week.
Yeah, one last. And I've said that for the last 6 weeks, so we'll see how that goes.
Yep, we've been Brad threw a Murph on the calendar for some of the folks at the office, so we've been doing a training program for that, and he actually he pushed it back 2 weeks, I think, so that Chris could participate. So I slacked last week. I think I only worked out twice instead of four times.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not. Y'all are crazy. I like it, but it's going to hurt so bad. But
all right.
Now, what's your other weird question, Dan?
Yeah, the next weird question. And so I know from previous episodes you guys like your coffee, correct?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. So my random question is, does coffee make you poop?
Yes.
100%. Okay, well, good.
I think it's caffeine.
Right.
Is it
right?
Caffeine?
But my intake of caffeine is coffee for the most part.
And it makes you poop or no?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh,
so like
okay. Yeah.
I have my cups, my two cups, and it's like clockwork. 20 minutes, 15 minutes afterwards, you know, I go. But here's the deal. And here's me leading up to this question. I do not drink coffee during deer season.
So you don't have to poop when you're in the woods.
Right. So the real question is, do you guys drink coffee during the deer season? Because there's nothing worse than having to poop while you're in a tree stand.
I do. And most of the time I try to poop at the truck if I can. Like if I haven't been able to go at home real quick before I head out, then I've been known to poop in the woods.
The key is to get up, have your coffee, and make the dump at the house before you leave.
Right.
And kind of force the issue so that you're totally cleared out.
Have you pooped out of a tree stand?
Oh, 100%.
Just like hang 100%. Your butt over?
Oh, yeah.
Hanging butts.
Yep. Done that. Then you take a sleeve off one of your shirts and
gosh.
You're prepared.
Some hot hands.
It's hot.
Nice and warm.
I just envisioned you doing that, and that's hilarious.
Jacob takes so many woods poops, it's like he enjoys them.
I did one yesterday.
He did one yesterday. It's great, man. And, like, notified us all that it happened.
Really?
Yeah. It's great. I don't do that anymore. I don't. That's why hunting season, coffee comes after the morning hunt, and I just take care of it in a bathroom, okay? So I prepare myself, or it's more of a strategy than it is a bowel movement. Like, I don't want to poop in the woods during deer season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turkey season, I could care less.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to start working this whole pooping method into your strategy talks on the podcast for sure. This needs to be a part of your curriculum.
I dehydrate myself like well into the evening before, like about 5 o'clock p.m. Dinner time. I don't drink anything.
Oh, really? See, I'm the opposite. Well,
because it's a little bit harder for me to go to the bathroom.
But you don't want to just like, usually what I do is I pound from dinner until bed, hoping that I pee in the morning and I'm cleared out. And then I don't drink necessarily while I'm hunting, except for the coffee.
Yeah, your hydration takes like 24 hours to catch up to you is what they say. So like if you want to be hydrated for Saturday afternoon, you should be hydrated by Friday afternoon.
Really, I get really nervous, especially, well, this year wasn't so bad, but especially when I'm hunting with someone else, like my dad, I get like, well, what do? We're in a buddy stand together, and I'm going to be like, Dad,
avert your eyes.
Can you please watch out? And like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to have to fully take my pants down, and my butt cheek is going to be next to your face. And also, why don't you just listen to me pee in this cup trying to, and like, you can hear the pee, and that's weird. And it's strange. So
I
think
time.
About it a lot. And then I'm like, God, what if I have to poop? And my dad's going to be like,
Everybody poops. I will say there's a massive benefit to eating McDaniels because that turns into toilet paper when you have those extra napkins. I always, anytime I have fast food, throw my extra napkins in my truck because it turns into TP in a pinch.
Mm.
I thought you were going to say the burger wrapper, and I was going to
just
burger grease on your a-hole.
That would be awful.
Yeah, I gotta make a recommendation. I got to make a recommendation here. Dude wipes. They're biodegradable. Yeah. So you wipe them. You wipe, and you can just throw it out in the woods, and eventually it will decompose really quickly, and it's good for the environment.
Yeah, and you get a good cool mint flavor on your butt.
Refreshing wipe.
A nice refreshing
wipe.
Dude,
there's nothing worse than an all-day sit mud butt. You don't want that going down.
Like, I feel uncomfortable just listening to you say that.
Dude Wipes needs to tap into the hunting market and carve that angle.
Get a licensing agreement with Realtree or Mossy Oak and just put some camo on it.
They throw Bottomland on their packaging, it's over. Buying it.
Dead Down Wind makes some wipes. They have some camp wipes that they targeted camping. I think they're biodegradable.
There you go.
They'll be unscented,
of course. Dude Wipes is late to the party then.
Yeah,
well, and they're scented, so you wouldn't want that. You'd want an unscented.
Yeah, dead down that'd be unscented. Yeah,
there you go.
Or something.
Or like
dirt.
If it had the dead down wind and you wiped and it took the scent away from the poop as well.
Yeah.
Well, that would friends, be. Or we got another meeting coming into the room. That's why Eric kind of trailed off. We're gonna have to shut her down. But
one last idea.
Okay.
Estrus scent wipes.
Oh there yeah.
All right.
Rub somebody, that on your butt.
Somebody, what's that guy on LinkedIn? Is it Sean Riley?
Yeah.
Dude Wipes. Somebody DM him. We got a genius idea here, but all right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it.
Only 5 stars.
Only 5. If you didn't like it and you're still here, what are you doing?
Yeah, please don't DM me about Keatsky either. Okay, on Go Wild. Thank you. I know it's called Go Wild. I know it's a Keatsky. Don't get them confused.
Don't get the wrong idea.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
See you, brother.
Bye, y'all.